Welcome to Numbers study number 15. We're in Numbers chapter 15. We plan on covering the entire chapter of 41 verses after we give out a hillbilly holla out to Brother Tim Rule. Brother Tim, you rule. No, actually Jesus rules, but we will rule and reign with him one day. And we are glad to have you listening along and want to give out a hillbilly holla and welcome you to our study along with everybody else as we get into Numbers chapter 15 with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand, who gives us understanding, opens our eyes to have understanding. And we just ask for his help as we learn what God the Father has given to us in his holy word. And we have this access to his word through his Spirit by the power and gift that is given to us through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, shedding his blood on the cross, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. To him be praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So now that we know that Israel spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, 1 year for every day that they were messing around with this whole thing, basically. And see our previous studies if you missed out on that. We see the instructions now being given to Israel for offerings that they would offer, sacrifices they'd offer when they eventually do come into the land. And that seems strange, but you know, 40 years in the Bible, there's my wife and I been following the BBF Bible reading plan here recently, and just happened to be the time of the year we're going through Judges. And it's funny that 40 years, 80 years, 100 years goes by and we don't really comprehend what's happening. And there'll be a judge, they'll go into apostasy, and then the judge will rule for 20 years, 40 years, whatever. And so you have to keep time in mind as you're reading these things. And it's a little closer to the fact, but it's similar to the way Jesus gave instructions to the church. Matthew 18, 15 to 18, he gives instructions on how to handle strife caused by sin in the church. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection on numerous occasions, which would become the gospel of the grace of God. He gave Paul the revelation of the mysteries of the gospel of grace later, but the gospel itself was already being preached by Jesus while he was on earth, and it was all before he breathed the Holy Ghost on those first Christians in John chapter 20, verse 22. The church was not born on Pentecost. That's a it's not really a terrible false teaching. It doesn't have terrible consequences, but it does cause misunderstanding. We become Christians when we receive the Holy Spirit. We're born again. We're baptized into the body and so forth. That happened to the 12 apostles, John 20, 22. And then on Pentecost, God added to the church, and that's Acts chapter 1 and 2. So the same thing happened with the church, instructions given before it actually became a thing. let's just jump right in here and see this, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you. I got to stop there just to say that these are the instructions given, but will not take effect until the Jews come in the land, so being given ahead of time. Verse 3, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock. So that's the background. We'll simply read through these instructions regarding burnt offerings, sacrifices for vows, freewill offerings, and so forth. We're going to read a few verses here, verses 4 through 11. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil. Again, meat offering is sometimes referred to as meal offering, flour. Think of meaty bread. Verse 5, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb or for a ram. Thou shalt prepare for a meat offering 2/10 deals of flour mingled with the third part of an hin of oil. You've heard these kind of instructions before. Just bear with me. Verse 7, and for a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of an hin of wine for a sweet savor unto the Lord. We've talked about what that sweet savor means. If you've ever been to a barbecue or been to a good barbecue restaurant, you smell it before you get in there, and it's a sweet savor. And verse 8 says, and when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering or for a sacrifice and performing a vow or peace offerings unto the Lord, verse 9, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of 3/10 deals of flour mingled with half an hin of oil. Verse 10, and thou shalt bring for a drink offering half an hin of wine for an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 11, thus shall it be done for one bullock or for one ram or for a lamb or a kid. So we're not going to carve out and repeat the things that we've taught in Exodus and Leviticus concerning these offerings. You can go back and watch those. But we repeat that there must be a sacrifice for sin and shed blood. As Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Or it just says, there is no remission in verse 22 of Hebrews 9, referring to sin. And that's just a necessity. If you have a religion with no blood sacrifice for sin, that blood sacrifice has to be infinite. That could only be God himself becoming that sacrifice. That happened when Jesus himself is God, manifest in the flesh. When he came and died for our sins, he fulfilled that requirement. Psalm 50 verses 3 through 6, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Who's he going to judge? His people. And he's going to destroy the wicked. And look what it says, gather my saints together unto me. Who are his saints? Continue reading. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. And Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, who became our Savior. And his sacrifice is the covenant we have with God in order to be gathered unto him at the time of the rapture. And that's what the Lord then reminds the Hebrews of as we continue, this necessity of blood and of a sacrifice. Verse 12 says, according to the number that ye shall prepare, so shall ye do to everyone according to their number. It's saying every one of us have to have a sacrifice. We all, every single one of us. Old saying is, God doesn't have any grandchildren. People who think they're going to go to heaven because their dad was a preacher or the parents are good Christian people or whatever. Ye must be born again. It's on an individual basis. Verse 13, and all that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. That's whether they're Jew or Gentile. That's why verses 14 through 16 says, and if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so he shall do. And verse 15 reiterates, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. He repeats this because he has to make it clear, because people are rebellious and they try to twist his words. He says again in verse 16, one law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. That's the way the laws, for example, here in the United States ought to be, but they're sadly not. Illegal immigrants are breaking the law when they enter in the country illegally, and yet they're not held accountable for being here illegally. The result is we're seeing chaos, crime increasing, and so forth. Well, that will not happen in heaven. Just not going to happen. Under Moses, there was one law, and in our dispensation, there's one gospel, and you must get to God through His Word. If you were under Mosaic law, you had to follow the law. Now, it had to be by faith. If you just went through the motions, God knew your heart. But by faith, if you go to Hebrews 11, it'll tell you about all these heroes of the faith in the Old Testament. And by faith, they did these things, and that's why it counted. And then we come to the New Testament. We see in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And then we could read off a number of passages, but just to give you a summary, for example, Acts 20:24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So that's the one gospel, the only gospel that can save you in this dispensation. It's not a gospel that Adam heard. It's not the gospel Noah preached or heard. It's not the gospel preached under Mosaic law. When Galatians says there's one gospel, and if anyone preach any other gospel, let him be accursed, he's talking about this dispensation. There'll be a different gospel message during the tribulation. It'll be the everlasting gospel. There'll be a different gospel during the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. We walk by faith, not by sight. During the millennium, they'll walk by sight. Jesus is right there in front of them, and so forth. That's why Romans 1:16 talks about the gospel of Christ. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What gospel? We see it spelled out clearly, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Skip down to verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So, the instructions were the same for strangers or Jews, Jew or Gentile. Same thing Romans 1:16 just said that I just read to you and quoted. So the instructions under Mosaic law in the Promised Land continue, beginning verse 17 through 21. Let's read a few verses here. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land whither I bring you." Verse 19, "Then it shall be that when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord." Verse 20, "Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for an heave offering. As ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it." Verse 21, "Of the first of your dough ye shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations." People ask me about tithing and giving to the Lord. The tithe is not Mosaic law. The tithe is from the time after the fall all the way up to this present time, a standard of giving. And it should be the first of your dough, which is funny because you're thinking about why do we call money dough? Give me some dough, bro. Well, you got to give the first of your dough to the Lord, bro. So with that, we remind you the meat offerings refer to meal or flour used in making bread from dough. And now Moses gives instructions for sins and failures to observe Mosaic commandments that done in ignorance. In other words, you fail to do what's right, you fail to do what you're supposed to do, but it's out of ignorance. And that goes from verses 22 through 26. I want to read that. Verse 22 says, "And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses," verse 23, "even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generations." Verse 24. Now, you see this. This is kind of prophetic because this is going to happen. Verse 24. "Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering." So it's saying this could go on for generations where they don't do what's right and then they realize it. And verse 25, and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. So this is a national sin. And it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And then verse 26, and it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. Now, that's what's going to happen during the Judges. You should be reading through the Bible and read in Judges, and you'll see this. During times of apostasy, when the judge would arise, they would realize they weren't doing things they should do. But it happens in a big way later in 2 Kings, the rule of King Hezekiah, and then again a couple of generations later with Josiah, his grandson. And we won't go read those right now, but go read it sometime, or you'll read it if you're reading through your Bible once a year, and you'll see those things. So we continue verses 27 through 29. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. Ignorance is not necessarily an insult. A lot of people, you talk to people today, they just were never raised in a church that taught them the Bible. They were never encouraged to read the Bible. They will be responsible for the fact that they should turn to God, run to God, embrace God, and doing so, going to His Word, they would see that they're supposed to read the Word, study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They'd see it in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He'd see it over and over and over. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So he would be drawn to that. But when your teachers aren't teaching it, the parents aren't teaching it, and people are totally ignorant, then when they do find out under Mosaic law, this is how they were to respond. Verse 28 says, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 29, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. So God is gracious, but he will not put up with rebellion, as we see happening next. Beginning in verse 30, says, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, meaning that with forethought, premeditation, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And folks, that's the death penalty. Genesis 9:5, Romans 13:1-5, and elsewhere make it clear that when there's eyewitnesses and proof beyond the shadow of a doubt of a capital crime, then that person is to be killed. And that wasn't just killing another person, especially under Mosaic law. So don't let anybody kid you. When you see the words cut off, it doesn't mean that they blocked them on social media or just banished them to another country. It is a serious offense to despise the word of God, as verse 31 says, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. He's going to bear it himself. Folks, you see anybody, I don't care who it is, even if it's a blood relative of Pastor Greg Miller, even if it's one of your blood relatives, when they purposely go against God's word, they are despising God's word. They're basically spitting on God's word. And now it says in verse 32, this example, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. Now, this is a violation of the fourth commandment. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. And in verses 8 through 11, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, etc. And then the penalty, the Ten Commandments are laid out, and then the penalties and other, what we would call revised code and that sort of thing, to give a greater understanding, follows after Exodus 20. And so in Exodus 31:14, we're told, Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. It tells you right there what it means. Be cut off is to be put to death. Now, this is specifically under Mosaic law. Not before and not since. Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again, founded his church. We're no longer under Mosaic law. The Ten Commandments, the moral law of the Ten Commandments, still is in effect, but that's because it's repeated in the New Testament. And I believe it's Romans 13 that repeats the commandments, but doesn't mention the Sabbath. Later in Romans 13, verses 1 through 5 deal with the death penalty and with the government enacting the law. So today you have people who are called Sabbatarians, and they're pretenders. They do not actually keep this law as it's commanded. They never execute anyone for violating it, and they regularly violate the specifics of Sabbath law. And they ignore the fact that we're no longer under Mosaic law. And there's not a place in the New Testament where we're commanded to keep the Sabbath. Not one. So Seventh-day Adventists, Hebrew roots, Hebrew Israelites. I call them Hebrew Israelites with a tan. And all others like that, claiming to be Jews but are not, are condemned. We see that in Revelation 3. They fall into this category. So here's what these groups would do if they were real Sabbatarians. Look at verse 33. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. Verse 34, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. So the accused is arrested and faces a trial of sorts here, but the only jury is the Lord himself. The testimony of two or more witnesses establishes his guilt. And then we read in verse 35, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. So it wasn't a private execution. It was a public execution in which all able-bodied adults were to witness and participate. Every able-bodied adult was to throw a stone at this person. Verse 36 says, and all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. That would be a deterrent, don't you think? And now we close the chapter with a command to then wear, this may seem out of place if you're not careful as you read it, but going to wear a reminder of the importance of not despising God's word, but following God's word and separating Israel apart from the godless nations around them. You put God's word above your own opinions and beliefs, in other words. Verse 37, 38 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes on the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. This wasn't just a trend, but it was actually a form of national identity. The Jews would all have this on their clothing, and it was a constant reminder. Verse 39 says, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. How many times have we talked about how these faith and family movies, so pathetically sad, and they'll tell you, follow your heart. No, don't. Follow God's word. Your heart being led by God's word, not your heart. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know it? God knows it. God tries the reins. God is the judge. His word is the authority. And so verse 40 says, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So this would be a constant visible reminder separating Jews from the rest of the world and all their false gods. You know, kids reach a level of mental maturity and they ask questions. So every normal Jewish kid at some point would probably say, Dad or Mom, why do all of us have these blue edges around our sleeves and the bottoms of our robes? And none of the other kids from the other countries do that. And at that point, the kid would hear the same accounts that you just heard. And I believe they would have included the account of the young man, we assume, who was stoned to death for breaking and despising God's law. And that's 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that's what those blue fringes would have done. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And that's what we hope to do here, teaching the word. And if you've read it before, we're reminding you of God's word.